This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration is designed to prepare students to lead in the social sector by combining classroom learning with field education and five focused pathways. The final deadline for the program is April 1st. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Good afternoon, I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. The mayor in West Suburban Broadview has removed a designated protest safety zone from outside the local U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility. Mayor Katrina Thompson signed the executive order after protests on Saturday led to 15 people being arrested.
So we have a right to protect the residents that live here. So we have to put protocols in place to make sure that everybody is safe. This is a public safety issue. It's not to take anybody's rights away.
Protesters will be able to gather only at the safety zone located at the processing center on Beach Street. Protesters will no longer be allowed along 25th Avenue. Thompson says she consulted with Illinois State Police and the Cook County Sheriff's Office for that executive order. Immigration advocates say networks of volunteers are documenting what is actually happening on the ground in and around Chicago. These are rapid response teams. They head to areas with reported immigration enforcement activity. Then they get people connected with legal help, ensure they know their rights, and document the Department of Homeland Security agents. Kat Zamaroun is with Southwest Rapid Response on the city's southwest side, and she tells our In the Loop program it's important they are there.
A lot of the information that comes out of DHS does not match up with what's happened in real life on the ground, does not match up with eyewitness accounts, video accounts, sometimes even their own body cam footage.
Another group called the Resurrection Project has launched a website to connect people with legal resources. That website is illinoisimmigrationinfo.org. A Northwestern University professor is one of three people awarded the Nobel Prize in Economics today. My colleague Michael Puente reports economics and history professor Joel Mokyr is recognized for having explained innovation-driven economic growth. His work helps economists better understand how ideas and technology succeed by disrupting established ways. Mokyr says he uses economics to understand history and vice versa.
All of that is driven mostly by an increase in what I call useful knowledge, that is to say, some combination of science and technology that allows us to do things that our, forefathers could only dream about.
Mokyr says he is honored to be recognized by his peers. And the Loyola University community will gather this week to remember beloved nun Sister Jean. Born Jean Dolores Schmidt, Sister Jean died last week. She was 106 years old. The university on Wednesday will host a wake and visitation starting at 5 p.m. at the Madonna della Strada Chapel. That's on the Lakeshore campus on the north side. That chapel also will host a funeral mass on Thursday morning at 10. Loyola officials say at Sister Jean's request, seating for the wake service and funeral will be open to the public on a first-come, first-served basis. Burial will be private and will not be open to the public. You're listening to The Rundown. The jarring military-style immigration raid on a South Shore building in Chicago 2 weeks ago captured the nation's attention. Federal officials blamed an influx of Venezuelan migrants for the building's dangerous conditions when they raided and arrested 37 people in the middle of the night. But longtime tenants say that building, it was in terrible condition long before the raid and migrants moved in. WBEZ's Mariah Wolfel and Sophie Sherry with the Sun-Times recently spent time in the building. They bring us this story. We'll start with Mariah.
On a recent Wednesday morning, Cassandra Murray, who's disabled and walks with a limp, is inching down the stairs from her fourth-floor apartment. She says the elevators are often not working. Her and her friend are wearing plastic gloves as they hold the railing in the filthy stairwell.
Here, you see urine, feces. They don't clean up.
Murray has lived in the building for 10 years and says it has always struggled with squatters, unhoused residents with nowhere else to go, but mainly poor management and neglect.
It was a nasty mess before ice came, so don't nobody keep putting that shit on ice, because that was not ice.
Federal agents flew in on helicopters, ripped doors off hinges, zip-tied residents, and tore through people's belongings during the September 30th raid. But the building has a long, troubled history. The 130-unit, five-floor apartment building near the lake is facing foreclosure, along with two other Southside buildings owned by the same real estate investor, Trinity Flood. The city of Chicago has sued Flood's company over long-standing code violations, violations that are apparent as we walk through the building.
Okay.
In a dirty hallway, it's difficult to avoid swallowing a gnat. A stray cat roams the second floor, likely hunting the mice that residents say infest the building. Some corners are completely dark because of broken lights. In one unit, water is pouring through the ceiling, flooding the apartment with at least an inch of water.
Oh, wow.
Who's to blame for these conditions isn't cut and dry. Documents show the city long knew about the squalor and sued the owner, but had done little else to urgently address the problems. Many residents also slammed the property manager, Strength in Management, saying the building took a nosedive when that company came in a year ago. Pierre Davis spoke to us as he waited for the bus across the street.
Well, when I first got here, it seemed like they had just fixed it up. They painted, they repaired. They had like a lot of things that are broken now repaired.
Electronic locks on the front doors no longer work, so anyone can enter. The company decided not to hire security for the building. Tenants started leaving, more squatters came, and building managers essentially abandoned the place, Davis says.
After about the majority of the apartments on the second floor were taken over, they stopped even. They would respond, but you wouldn't get anything done.
The management company and the owner declined to comment on the criticism.
Some of the people taking up apartments and not paying rent were Venezuelan migrants, though others paid with a state assistance program. The Trump administration says its agents targeted the apartments because they were known to be frequented by members of a Venezuelan gang. The area surrounding the building has long been impacted by crime. And in June, a Venezuelan man who lived in the building was charged in an execution-style murder. But despite the brutal killing, tenants like Murray say they haven't seen a sprawling criminal enterprise operate out of the building, as the feds have suggested.
They keep speaking of gangs. I didn't see any gang. They were just trying to have somewhere to stay.
Others said corners of the building were at times dangerous. You'd see someone flash a gun. But there were migrant families with children, too, who were trying to make the building a better place to live, residents said.
That was the Venezuelans that was starting to clean the hallways and stuff. It wasn't management.
A week after the raid, a cleanup crew is picking up the pieces.
I want all hallways, top to bottom, flushed down.
But many of the remaining tenants aren't waiting for conditions to improve. After making it down the stairs, Murray rushes into her friend's car. She peels off her plastic gloves she used to shield herself from the stairwell's germs.
Yeah, ladies, I gotta get a move on.
She's on her way to sign a lease for a new apartment. Mariah Wolfel,
Sophie Sherry, WBZ News.
Weather, it's Indigenous Peoples Day, cloudy skies today and a high of 70, and then tonight cloudy skies, a low in the upper 50s, partly sunny on Tuesday, high near 70. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thanks for listening.